Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you today?
Doing well. What's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. We actually have some stuff to talk about today, which is good. We're going to have, hopefully, Mike Keith next week, so keep an eye out for that. We also had Jonathan Hutton last week, so if you missed any of either one of those episodes, go back and find those. The way that you cannot miss those in the future would be to go ahead and subscribe to the podcast. So wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Himalaya, whatever it is, just find Locked On Titans there, subscribe. You'll get the newest shows as soon as they're available. Remind you, Terry and I write for MuseumMiracles.com. That's where we cover the Titans for SB Nation. So you can check that out. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry's at TLambertTN. Today we're going to talk a little bit about OTAs. Titans did their first OTA with the whole team yesterday. So a few observations from that. You know, unsurprisingly, we have a quarterback controversy talk going already, which is ridiculous. So we'll get into that discussion a little bit. And then Gerald McCoy got released and Dominican Sue signed. So we'll talk a little bit about that and what remaining need the Titans still have on the defensive line. All right, so starting off with the Marcus Mariota, Ryan Tannehill stuff. Look, we knew when the Titans acquired Ryan Tannehill earlier this offseason that there was going to be a segment of the fan base that would try to make it into a quarterback controversy. Now, anytime that John Robinson has been asked, anytime that Mike Vrabel has been asked, including yesterday, they have both made it very clear that there is not a quarterback controversy on this team, and Marcus Mariota is the quarterback. Now, but I mean, you know, some people hate Mariota, some people just want a quarterback controversy, I don't know, whatever it is. But, you know, like I said, unsurprisingly yesterday, apparently Marcus Mariota didn't look great in portions of practice. And so now all of a sudden Marcus Mariota is not a good practice player. This competition should be open. All that kind of stuff's going on. Here's my few thoughts on it, and then I'll let you go with it as well. One, that it would be really dumb. In my opinion, it would be really dumb for the Titans not to be committed to Mariota here. They've got to figure out this year whether or not he is worth signing to a long-term deal. And I wrote a post for this about this from UC Miracles earlier today, but really there are kind of two really bad outcomes that could come from this season for the Titans as far as, you know, the future in Mariota is concerned. Number one, he's a mediocre quarterback and you commit $100 million to him. Number two, he's a franchise quarterback and you let him walk into free agency for nothing. The Titans have got to do their best to figure out if either one of those things are true this year or not. Now, he could get hurt again. They may not get a definitive answer, whatever. But if you're playing this game of, well, we're not really committed to him, we're going to make this competition, he's going to be looking over his shoulder all year, I don't think you ever really have the chance to find that out. So for me, that is, and aside from who's better, I mean, we can talk about that as well. But for the future of this franchise, the Titans have got to figure out what Marcus Mariota is. And the only way that they have a chance of doing that is to commit to him this year and see how that plays out.
And, of course, the counterpoint to that is he's been here for 4 years, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and while that's true, I'd argue that a lot of things have not gone his way. And, you know, like we said, at a certain point in time, you just have to accept that's who he is. But I think the Titans are treating this like one last chance. The coaching staff has just denied any sort of quarterback competition. Yet, of course, you're going to see that. I mean, people have their minds made up on Marcus Mariota. I don't think me or you do right now. We were certainly firm believers last year. You know, rewind 365 days. We're all aboard the Mariota train. Now we're not so sure. We're in wait and see mode. So, but there, like you said, there's a segment that have made their minds up about this quarterback situation. So, you know, we said it when the Titans traded for him. You know, training camp and OTAs, stuff like this, it was going to be brutal because, you know, you were going to see a good throw from Tannehill, and, you know, that meant that he deserved to start next Sunday, and that's just not how it is. So what you don't need to do with your Twitter account is sit there and watch Twitter highlights and, you know, dissect every single throw and say, well, Tannehill nailed this and Mariota was a little high. You know, why isn't there a quarterback competition? That's not productive. You know, that's not real life. You're not seeing it from the whole picture. You're just getting a snippet of information out of a Twitter video. So that's what bothers me. You know, this is Mariota's job. I don't think he could do anything to lose it outside of getting injured in training camp here. So it's Mariota's job. A lot of people aren't going to accept that. You know, Tannehill's going to get his chance. You know, that's the thing. That's what he was brought in here to do, to back up Marcus Mariota. Mariota's probably going to get hurt. If he does, Titans will be going in a different direction this year. But you got to let it play out. I mean, so many people just want to make this a thing, and I don't think it deserves to be quite yet.
Yeah, and I mean, I get he's been here for 4 years, and you should know. I think that's the most frustrating part of this, and so I don't like, you know, really hammer people for that argument because, sure, if you don't have an answer in 4 years, you have your answer, right? I do get that. I still feel like there's so many circumstances that have been somewhat outside of his control that have kept us from seeing what he is, you know, and we've talked, I mean, obviously so much about that. And like you said, I mean, at this point last year, we were all in Marcus Mariota believers. I mean, when they brought in Matt LaFleur, there was no doubt in my mind that Marcus Mariota was going to be great, and, you know, we were going to see him take that next step. Obviously, that didn't happen, injuries, whatever else. And there have been times where he seems like he's healthy and his play on the field just hasn't been good enough. So, yeah, I mean, I get it all. And I've moved from being, you know, 100% confident that he's going to be good to now just not being sure. But I think that is maybe the more, I don't know, fair place to be. That's just what it feels like to me. And again, like you said, it's such a waste of time to try to create a controversy when everybody inside the building is saying there's not one. And so no matter how much you want it to be there, just, like I said, move on from it. Don't worry about practice. There's somebody, I can't remember who it was, they were talking about some, I guess a Dolphins writer that talks about, you know, Tannehill always looks great in practice. So, you know, kind of be wary of that because he looks like a different player in practice than he does in the games. I had somebody coming at me today about, well, you know, Blaine Gabbert. I guess apparently Travis Haney said that Blaine Gabbert, I don't know if consistently was the word that he used. I didn't actually read Haney's article, but that he consistently, or at least at a lot of points last year, looked sharper in practice than Marcus Mariota did. And you know what? That's fine. That's all well and good. But we saw the difference in those two on the field. And as bad as Marcus Mariota was at times last year, he was still a huge upgrade over Blaine Gabbert. So to me, that is if that's true, that Gabbert looked better in practice, to me, that's a huge, like, red flag to say, okay, just because a guy is looking like a Pro Bowler in practice, it doesn't always translate to the field. So to me, that's an argument against getting too high on Tannehill and his practice. But, you know, like I said, some people are not taking it that way.
Yeah, and I'd point out too, Marcus Mariota is a gamer, and you know, I don't really like that term, but lights come on in the fourth quarter. That's a guy that you want on your side. You know, we didn't get to see it last year a whole lot because he was banged up. But time and time again, when the game's been on the line, Mariota shows up, whether it's with his legs or with his arms or you know, catching a pass in Kansas City from himself. He just seems to come through. So once again, it's an OTA. You know, all this has come from an OTA practice with some Twitter videos. So that's mind-blowing to me. I'm really concerned for my well-being on Twitter this training camp because I think it's going to be pretty ugly.
Yeah, it's a long way from now, training camp. And the commitment we can make is that this will be the last time that we talk about Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Other than if we're talking about, you know, his performance in a preseason game. Or if Marcus Mariota gets hurt and Tannehill's the starter that week, that's it for us. I mean, we're not gonna do this. We're not gonna be breaking down, you know, completions versus incompletions for both guys in camp. They said there's not a controversy. There's not a controversy. That's what we're gonna move with going forward. All right, coming up, we will talk a little bit more about some things that happened in the OTAs yesterday on Tuesday. Before we do that, talk about Blue Chew. If you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know that they have been sponsoring us for a while now. We appreciate them doing that. Like, y'all know what it is, right? If you're looking for that extra edge that you might need, Blue Chew is the way to go. It's got the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works. And you can take it anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill. So you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. All right, so we've got a special deal for our listeners. If you visit BlueChew.com, you get your first shipment for free when you use special promo code LOCKEDON. You just pay the $5 for shipping. Again, that's BLUEChew.com, Promo code Locked On to try it for free. The other good thing about it, prescribed online, ships right to your door. It's discreet, so you don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to wait in the pharmacy. No more awkwardness, if I can say that word. It's made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. So, again, that's bluechew.com/lockedon. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we appreciate them sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so OTAs, and again, you know, we talked about how things that, you know, don't really matter. You can't take away that much from one on-the-field workout. But I think there are some things that we can take away from. The biggest thing that stood out to me, just watching the highlight stuff yesterday that was posted on Twitter, was the fact that Delanie Walker was out there running around. You know, there's been a lot of talk about how he's going to come back, what he would look like once he comes back. There was some talk that he still wasn't running. Some concern as far as that was, some concern from that. But he was out there yesterday, looked to be a full participant in, you know, I mean, they were just in helmets and shorts. But the fact that he's out there running around, getting the work in now, I think is a really good sign for where he will be once we get to training camp.
Yeah, it's something that we took for granted. I mean, we joked throughout the draft process about the Titans and their tight end room. You know, so many mocks had them taking a tight end, but we seemed pretty convinced that he was going to come back and be fine. But there's some lingering doubt there with his age. I mean, he's mid 30s now, so just to see him back out there, you know, he described himself as about 85%. So that seems like he's going to be on track for this fall. I'll be interested to see what they get out of him, because he was a dynamic player. You know, a couple of years back, I think he seemed to lose a step in the last season that he played. Just real interested to see if they can get him back, because that's a huge part of this offense that Marcus Mariota didn't have last year. And, you know, you want to talk about the Mariota debate, you got to throw that in there too. I think a lot of people forget that Delanie Walker was on the shelf for the entire season last year. And you talk about Rishard Matthews, you talk about losing him. That's two huge parts of this offense that used to be two huge parts of this offense that Mariota didn't have. So getting him back, adding in A.J. Brown, another year for Corey Davis to get it, Adam Humphries, you know, add Roger Saffold onto this offensive line, it's an exciting time.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, I mean, he's just such a huge piece of that offense, and a guy that we know that Marcus Mariota can rely on when things kind of break down, a guy that you know is going to run to the right spot, run the right route, all that kind of stuff. So it will be huge to have him back out there. Another thing, A.J. Brown spent some time after practice working with Corey Davis. I thought that was really cool to see. Also, by all accounts, A.J. Brown was on the, like, one of the last ones off the field after the rookie OTA or the rookie minicamp, whatever that's called. So, again, I mean, I don't know that necessarily means that he's going to be a great receiver, but you appreciate a guy that's willing to come in here and put in the work. We've had some receivers that were highly touted, you know, guys like Kenny Britt, Dorial Green-Beckham, but, you know, had some work ethic slash off-the-field issues. A.J. Brown seems to be a guy that's really committed to his craft, committed to what's going on the field. I mean, you see all the pictures, you know, the DK Metcalf stuff was what got all that buzz during the pre-draft process with that picture of him and A.J. Brown in the weight room. But A.J. Brown is you know, a pretty physical specimen himself. So, you know, we're all aboard this new Titans wide receiver hype train. I just hope this one doesn't end in utter despair like it seems like every other one has.
And, you know, with him, I haven't seen many highlights yet. We haven't seen him, you know, even in a preseason game, but he feels different. I mean, maybe it's just me, but just his mentality, his demeanor, he just feels different. He feels like he's coming in here with confidence. You think about all these draft picks that, you know, even Corey Davis, you know, you had the injury that he was dealing with, so we didn't get to see him early on. But A.J. Brown comes in here, and he feels like a pro already looks the part, obviously, but to see him out there getting the work in with Corey Davis, with Marcus Mariota, I just have a good gut feeling about him. And you know, it's easy to not have confidence in the Titans and a receiver, especially a draft pick, because we've just been down this road so many times. But he just feels different, does he to you?
Yeah, absolutely, he does. And like I said, just all the other stuff, and there's no, like, you know, with everybody else, it was like he could be great, but, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was always something, whether it be off the field, injury, you know, whatever it was, and he doesn't have any of that stuff. So hopefully that means we're going to get a different result this time. And listen, hopefully he and Corey Davis can kind of come into their own together with the addition of Adam Humphries as well. But, I mean, you've got the chance to have some a couple of young dynamic receivers, and the Titans have never had, you know, I don't know if they ever had a dynamic receiver, but they definitely have not ever had a couple of those. So hopefully that's something that we're going to see, you know, starting this year, but something that they can build on into the future. And on the defense side of the ball, another thing that, you know, that I really noticed that got much buzz was Cameron Wake being out there talking with the young guys. And again, you know, you have an edge group that is really, really young. And so to have a guy in here that has as much experience as he does, that's just going to be something that if he's willing to work with those guys, which apparently he is, they can take some stuff away from him. And hopefully, you know, that whole group can be better for him being here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really young room that could use some grooming. You know, even Harold Landry, who we think is the number one pass rusher on this team, he could still use it from Cam Wake, a guy that's done it for a long time at a really high level. Other thing that stood out for me is Adam Humphries. You know, just reading around, caught a lot of balls yesterday. I just think he's going to jive really well with Marcus Mariota's game. I think he's going to help this offense be a little crisper, be quicker, you know, get open quicker so Marcus Mariota's not standing there in the pocket and waiting to get crushed. You know, I think that's kind of where some of these injuries come from, is him improvising and not getting the ball out of his hand. So I really like that addition, and early on it's already looking like he's going to be a productive player.
Yeah, absolutely. And you made the point earlier about, like, Delanie Walker being back. Just having a couple of those guys that he knows he can count on, he knows they're going to be, get the ball out to them, I think that's going to be a huge upgrade for this offense in this year. All right, coming up, we'll finish up the show with a little Ndamukong Suh, Gerald McCoy talk. Okay, so since we last talked, Gerald McCoy was released by the Buccaneers. You know, it's been out there for a while. They were trying to trade him. I guess apparently couldn't find a suitable trade partner, so they went ahead and gave him his outright release. Then you also had Ndamukong Suh signing with the Buccaneers. I think that was on either Monday or Tuesday. You know, I think Gerald McCoy is interesting for this team. We talked a lot about the defensive line. We know that they're, you know, we all have really high hopes for Jeffrey Simmons. We also know that we're not going to see him probably at least until November. So they could stand to have somebody to work into that rotation in the meantime. I know they've got bodies, but I don't think they have really any productive bodies up front outside of Jarrell Casey. So I thought Ndamukong Suh was really interesting from the standpoint of, you know, you could probably get him on a one-year deal, a guy that could come in and fill that role that they hope Simmons will fill whenever he's ready. Gerald McCoy, I'm not sure. I mean, and these guys are the same age. I didn't realize until we were talking before we came on the show that they came in the same class, were drafted back-to-back. You know, and Ndamukong Suh seems that he's obviously in the point of his career where he's playing on one-year deals. Everything that I've heard about Gerald McCoy is you're talking about two- or three-year deal for him. So, I mean, I think that's a little bit different because, you know, it might be tough to get McCoy, Simmons and Jarrell Casey on the field at the same time once everybody's healthy. You know, if you're talking about heading into 2020, so you didn't really have to have those concerns with Ndamukong Suh. I don't know. I mean, he's a guy that John Robinson is familiar with because of his time in Tampa Bay. So I mean, I think he's interesting, but at the same time, you know, when he was cut, Adam Schefter tweeted out, you know, he could be interested in these teams. Schefter probably got that from his agent, I would assume. Titans were not on that list. So I don't know. It's something that I think the Titans should definitely at least look into, but I'm not sure if he is as good of a fit from a contract standpoint as Ndamukong Suh probably would have been.
Yeah, I'm kind of out on it, and you hit the nail on the head with the one-year deal. If you can get McCoy on a one-year deal, I think, you know, look, go for it, but I don't think it's going to happen. You're already hearing about the Colts, of course, with all their cap space that they've got. But, yeah, a two- or three-year deal makes sense for him, 31 years old, still someone in his prime. Look, the Titans have Brent Urban here, and I know that name doesn't move the needle, but I do think it's an upgrade over what they have, over an Austin Johnson type. You know, maybe you kick Daquan Jones inside and play a little nose tackle along with Jarrell Casey. But I don't think you can sign him to a two- or three-year deal when you've drafted Jeffrey Simmons with the 19th pick, who may or may not play this year. You know, it's probably safer for us to assume that he won't. But what happens when he comes back and you've got Casey and McCoy and Simmons? That doesn't make much sense unless you're going to play one at nose, which doesn't make much sense either. So I'm kind of out on it. I don't know that the Titans can improve their defensive line right now. I think that the hay is kind of in the barn here. You know, I wish they would have gotten some more immediate impact guys, but Urban will at least be a little bit more productive than what they had last year.
Yeah, I think getting Urban in there is a good thing from a rotational standpoint, and like I said, just bodies was something that they definitely needed. And I mean, I think we've seen that teams are, I don't know that every team's moving away from a nose tackle, but when you're talking about a guy that's only going to be on the field, you know, possibly on first and second down, and as much as teams are throwing these days, you spend so much time in your sub packages anyway. So I really just don't see the need for a guy that just strictly plays the nose. So yeah, it would be interesting to see that, but I just, you know, unless they can come up with some deal where they give him a bunch of money in year one, and you know, on a 1 year deal, or in year one that they can get out of years two and three, maybe something like that would make a little bit of sense. But anything beyond that, I just don't think it makes a lot of sense for this team. And then plus, I mean, you'd have a lot of money tied up in the defensive line, and just which is not necessarily where you want to be tying up most of your money. So interesting thought. Like I said, if they can get it, you know, done on the right terms, I would be for it. But I just would be surprised with McCoy if that's what ends up happening. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on all that kind of as it goes.
Yeah, and I was going to add, the Giants took a nose tackle in the first round of the NFL draft, and they traded Odell Beckham to take a nose tackle in the first round of the NFL draft. You know, like you said, it's just changing times in the NFL, and nose tackle doesn't really play a lot. And here's Dave Gettleman, you know, taking a running back at two and a nose tackle in the first round. So that's just wild to me. It's wild to me that the NFL still employs someone like that. So, yeah, taking Dexter Lawrence, I think with, what, the 17th pick, it's just amazing.
But it really is, especially when you put it into the context that was the pick they got for a nose tackle.
Yeah, you essentially traded Odell for a nose tackle.
Right, and nobody in the right mind is doing that straight up, you know.
Yeah.
It's wild to think about. So, yeah. And that was another thing. I mean, you know, Dexter Lawrence was mocked to the Titans quite a few places as we went through that draft process. But right. That's the thing that we kept saying, and you were on that first. Like, there's just – you're not spending a first-round pick on that guy anymore. So just different than it used to be. But anyway, so like I said, we'll see how it all plays out. We'll watch the McCoy offer, see kind of where he ends up. All right, that'll do it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Again, if you have not already subscribed to the podcast, please do that. Wherever you get your podcast, again, Google, Spotify, iTunes, Himalaya, whatever it is, you can do it there. We will be back later on this week with another episode. If you want to leave us a voicemail, 615-787-8762. Didn't mention that from the front. But if you want to do that, we can do one of those shows coming up in the next few days. Like I said, we're going to have Mike Keith next week. At least that's the plan right now. So be sure to look out for that. He's always really great when he's on here. And so we'll get his thoughts on the roster, on the draft, and then maybe get into some of the, you know, Titans game day, some of his preparation stuff, kind of like we would Jonathan Hutton. So be looking for that. Again, follow us on Twitter. I'm at Jim Morris, MCM. Terry's at T Lambert, TN. So for Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening to Locked On Titans, and we will talk to you again later.